It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we talk with Representative John Nygren about the 8 bills that were signed into law yesterday that are aimed at stemming Wisconsin's growing problem of heroin and other opioid addiction.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
The state Senate ended its legislative session this week. We'll look at what bills did and didn't make the cut.
We'll also hear about a report on lead in water at schools and daycares in Wisconsin and around the country and ACT performance differences between public schools and school choice students.
For the latest on those stories, we're joined by Robert Menser, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the Wisconsin State Senate wrapped up its session, and one major package of bills that mostly passed was Governor Walker's college affordability plan. What happened there?
Well, so the some parts of the bill passed. Of course, this was the sort of a centerpiece of Governor Walker's State of the State address, and he got some of it. He didn't get all of it. The portions that passed were the state expanded funding for need-based scholarships for students that are going to technical colleges or two-year University of Wisconsin colleges. A bill to create a state internship coordinator to create these positions. Passed. The thing that didn't pass, though, is maybe the most consequential part of the package, which would have been to remove the cap on the tax deduction you can take on your student loan interest. So right now you can deduct up to $2,500, and it's going to stay there because they didn't. That was also the part that would have cost the state the most. So the estimate was $5.2 million per year. So they, in the end, the Senate just couldn't stomach that, I guess.
And moving on from that, what about the plan to open up the WIAA's records, the open record requests?
Yeah, so this was it was certainly an interesting proposal. It's dead, or at least for now it is dead. The idea is that the WIAA, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. It oversees high school athletics. It's having the big state basketball tournament right now down the road from you guys. And it acts like a public entity in a lot of ways. These are public high schools. It gets most of its millions of dollars in funding from public schools. So the argument was that taxpayers ought to be able to have a look at it, and it should be open to open records requests. But no such luck. That did not go anywhere.
And the governor also signed a bill that this was a little more contentious in the state of Wisconsin. It did pass, though, a bill allowing voters to register online. That part's not the most contentious part. But tell us about that bill and what happened.
Yeah, so online voter registration will be in effect for voters who have a state-issued ID starting next year for spring elections next year. The problem was, or the objection from some, was that it also removes a position called special registration deputies, who are people who it's a long-standing position, who help with those registrations. And so the argument, at least, is that it's going to hamper efforts to do different sorts of voter registration drives.
And those were the people who would go door to door and register people to vote, right?
Right. And of course, the argument on the of the people who favor the plan is, look, you can get out an iPad and you'll be able to get people registered.
And then finally, Rob, there was a high capacity well bill that picked up some momentum late in the session. What happened with that one?
Yeah, so this would have made it easier for companies or people with high capacity wells to maintain them, keep them, repair or replace the well without getting a new state permit. I think that or replace is a key part of that, because opponents of the bill said that it basically amounted to a blank check to just use huge amounts of groundwater in perpetuity. It had its proponents and it passed the Senate, but it did not make it through the Assembly, so it is dead for now at least.
Talking with Robert Menser right now, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald. We're talking the Wisconsin News Roundup. And in other news this week, USA Today released a report looking at lead contamination in schools and daycares nationwide. What did that report find?
Yes. So this was a massive effort and looked at just tens of thousands of water systems in all 50 states. And the finding for USA Today Network and with reporters in Wisconsin and all over the country was that there are almost 2,000 cases in the last 4 years where tests have found excessive lead contamination. There were about 350 of those that were providing water to schools or to daycares, and there were at least 180 cases where water tested for high lead and consumers who were drinking that water were never even notified of it.
And Robert, this was pretty interesting because it sounds as though, first of all, a lot of the testing that went on was voluntary by the schools. It wasn't something where the state came in and said, hey, let's make sure that the water is safe here. And also Wisconsin didn't look so hot nationwide.
Wisconsin had a lot of these instances. It had more than 100 cases in the last 4 years, and it is legitimately troubling. There were cases in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, one of the worst, where over 5,000 people had water that tested for high levels of lead in 2013, 2014, and 2015. There's an elementary school in Rudolph, Wisconsin, Wood County, that had four instances where the lead was high. It's troubling. The problem is what the EPA measures is anything exceeding 15 parts per billion. Obviously, this is very complicated. But what the research has shown is that even as low as 5 parts per billion of lead can have bad health effects especially for children. So even this report may not be getting to the full scope of the problem.
And as you said, children are particularly vulnerable to this. Robert, do you think this is just sort of the tip of the iceberg with this?
It has to be a good sign that there is more attention to this, and it has to be a good thing that as far as I know, for the first time there exists this database that shows every single instance in this past 4 years. A lot of times the problem is in not necessarily in like city pipes, but in the fixtures that actually bring the water into a school building or a daycare center or a home. And those, the good thing about that is those are cheaper to replace. Those can be replaced more easily. So it feels like that more scrutiny on this will certainly uncover more troubling cases where lead levels are high, but it also gets to the point where you can, you know, start to address some of these problems.
And finally, we're going to wrap up talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and the unveiling of the concept art for that new stadium. First of all, did you see it, and how would you describe it?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I've heard beer barrel. I've heard loaf of bread. It's interesting. I kind of like it.
It's artistic looking, right? It's got a curve.
Yes, right. Yeah, sort of a curved, I don't know, facade on the roof that goes down over one side of the building, and it looks like what looks like wood paneling, and then there are these vertical sections for the windows going up the side. It's massive. It's 714,000 square feet. It's going to cost $500 million, $250 million of that paid for by you and me, the taxpayers. They unveiled these renderings, and so it's, you know, everybody has an opinion, right? What do you think?
I kind of liked it. I didn't know. I mean, I'm not a big basketball fan. Sorry to offend anybody, but it was a really cool looking building.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Even the wood sort of suggests a basketball court surface to me, like a hardwood floor. You know?
Oh, see, you're picking up on all kinds of things about it that
I
didn't see.
I'm practically an architecture critic here.
So if someone, say you, had a critique about the building and is like, hey, it looks too much like a loaf of bread, is it still open to debate?
I think they're looking to break ground this year. I think it's a runaway train at this point.
Well, what are officials saying about what this stadium is going to do for the city, they think?
So this is one of the large arguments, and this is part of why this was such a big point of contention in the state budget last year. The taxpayer funding is meant to goose economic development in downtown Milwaukee, and crucially to keep the Milwaukee Bucks in the city. They openly said that they would leave if this weren't funded. So there are a lot of expectations on this building. So whether you to your aesthetic taste or not, the city of Milwaukee is hoping that it will be to their economic taste.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Robert Menser is a storytelling editor for USA Today Network in Wisconsin. He joined us for the Wisconsin News Roundup.